Let's turn in God's Word tonight to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. We're going to consider tonight the superscription on the cross with Jesus, the content of which is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. We read that in verse 19 of this chapter. The Word of God at John 19. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto him, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him, and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee?" Jesus answered, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." And from thenceforth, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat, in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, in about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then delivered he them therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, "Write not, 'The King of the Jews,' but that he said, 'I am King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, "Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be. That the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, 'They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots.' These things therefore the soldiers did." Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." Then saith he to the disciple, "Behold thy mother." And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, "I thirst." Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, "A bone of him shall not be broken." And again another scripture saith, "They shall look on him whom they pierced." And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. So far we read the inspired word of God. As I said, the text for the sermon is the superscription, "On the cross with Jesus." We have that in verse 19 of this chapter. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." That same superscription is recorded in each of the other Gospels. I'd like to read that from each of the Gospels. Matthew chapter 27, verse 37 is Matthew's account. "And set up over his head his accusation written, 'This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.'" Mark has it in chapter 15, verse 26. I'm reading these just so that you see at the beginning that there's a slight difference in the accounts concerning the superscription. Mark 15, verse 26, "And the superscription of his accusation was written over, 'The King of the Jews.'" And then Luke in chapter 23, verse 38. "And the superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin, Hebrew, 'This is the King of the Jews.'" Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Gospels record for us many details concerning the crucifixion and death of Jesus Christ. Really striking when you study in depth how many things we really know about what took place when Jesus was crucified. The fact that he had to bear his own cross, but then later needed the help to bring it to the place of the crucifixion. The fact that he was not crucified alone, but with two malefactors, one that was hardened in unbelief, the other was at the very end brought to faith and would be with Jesus in paradise that same day. The fact that at seven distinct times Jesus spoke on the cross. The fact that there were two distinct sections of time while Jesus hung on the cross. The first 3 hours when he was conscious and very aware of what was going on around him. And then the last 3 hours where he experienced the wrath of God against our sin in the most profound way possible. And you could go on and on. Many, many details that we know about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. But what's so striking about that is that each of those details serves a purpose. It's not simply to give us a full account of what took place when Jesus actually died. All of those things that I mentioned, and really every aspect of the death of Jesus Christ, serves the purpose of helping us understand the meaning of what was taking place on that cross on that Good Friday many years ago. All of the historical details help us to understand even better the great work of salvation that Jesus accomplished on that cross. And that's what we'll see tonight with this particular detail. A significant aspect of the history of Jesus' crucifixion. All four gospel accounts record this aspect of His death on the cross. The fact that when He died on that cross, there was a writing above Him, a superscription, that had this as its content: Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. We look at that superscription this evening as the text for the sermon. Let's see in the first place the fact of it. Let's see in the second place what I just laid out, the fact that in that there is significant meaning as it relates our salvation to our salvation. And then in the third place, let's see the comfort that we derive from this superscription. The superscription, the fact, and then the meaning, and then the comfort. Our Lord Jesus Christ suffered all of His life long, and that led to His death by means of crucifixion. And by definition, that means that Jesus Christ died suffering on a cross. He had to die in that way. Christ, in order to accomplish the work of saving you and me, could not die any other way. He could not die by means of a life-threatening disease, cancer, that would ravage His body and eventually lead to His death. He could not die, as His fellow Nazarenes tried to do right at the beginning of His earthly ministry, by being shoved off a cliff and immediately upon falling to the ground, be dead. He could not die suddenly in an alleyway in Jerusalem being impaled by a sword. Jesus had to die the death of the cross. There's theological significance to the fact that He died on the cross. The cross was a symbol of the curse of God. We read that in the Old Testament and then quoted in the New Testament in Galatians 3, verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. He took that curse upon Himself. And He was on that cross, and that cross suspended between heaven and earth, picturing the rejection of God and the rejection of man. And that's reflected in the way that we speak, too. We speak of the death of Jesus. We speak of the suffering of Jesus. What really stands as a synonym of both of those is when we speak of the cross of Jesus. There's great significance to the fact that Jesus died the death of the cross. In addition to that theological significance to a cross, there is this point that is highlighted from the fact of the superscription that was written above Him. This form of death allowed there to be a message that was proclaimed while Jesus was suffering and while He was dying. It was a message proclaimed to those who would pass by, as John states explicitly in this chapter that we read. It's a message for the church of all ages. It's a message for us this evening as we come together for worship on this Good Friday. The cross in particular allowed for this message to be proclaimed. And that's what the superscription was. There would not be this explicit message to those passing by and to the church throughout the ages if He died the death of cancer or the death of being thrown off a cliff or the death of being impaled by a sword. This death in particular allowed this message to be proclaimed to those then that day and to us today. The superscription on that cross, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Now we need to understand the purpose of a superscription. A superscription, very simply, is a writing, a statement that is placed above the person that is being crucified. The purpose of a superscription is to identify the reason such a man is hanging on that cross and being executed. That's why in two of the accounts, in Matthew and in Mark, it mentions specifically the accusation. Matthew says, "and set over his head his accusation." Mark says, "and the superscription of his accusation was written over." That gets to the very purpose of the superscription. It was typically in those days the setting forth of the crime that that person committed. Those walking by, usually they were in public places, would look at that person on the cross, read above him the crime committed, which led to that actual crucifixion. That leads us to understand as well the type of cross likely that Jesus was crucified on. It was likely in the shape of a lowercase t, like the cross that's behind me on the back wall here. There were typically in those days three types of crosses that were used by the Romans. There was this type of cross, which with a body hanging on it would allow for something to be attached above that person, namely a superscription like this. But there were also a couple of other types of crosses. One was in the shape of a capital T, and the other was in the shape of an X. But because he had this superscription, it's likely that this was the type of cross that Jesus hung on. The basic content of that superscription was Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Now, as we get into that content of the superscription, it forces us to grapple with a question. And the question is, why, when we read the four gospel accounts, do we read of slightly different recordings of what was on that superscription? I took the time a moment ago to read those four gospel accounts, and you'll notice when you read those four accounts that there are slight differences in each of the gospel writers. Matthew says, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Mark says, "the King of the Jews." Luke says, "This is the King of the Jews." And John says, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Now, those who are skeptics concerning the inspiration and infallibility of the Scriptures have a heyday with this superscription. Those in unbelief who look to the Scriptures and want to undermine their inspiration and authority and infallibility say, look at the discrepancies here. Four gospel writers, all attempting to do the exact same thing, which is record the content of what was above Jesus on the cross, and all four of them record it in a slightly different way. How can you say that the Scriptures are inspired, God-breathed, and on top of that, infallible, without error, when, so it seems on the surface, there's a contradiction in what they say was above Jesus Christ on the cross? We, of course, believe wholeheartedly the inspiration and infallibility of the Word of God. The entire Word of God is inspired, God-breathed. So that when we read the Scriptures, we're reading God's Word to His church. And because it comes from God, we believe wholeheartedly that every word of it is without error. We refer to that as verbal inspiration, and that's the idea that every single word, not just ideas, but word, is inspired by the Holy Spirit. So that when we read each of those gospel accounts as it relates to the superscription, we say tonight that this was inspired. And we have it in each of the gospel accounts exactly as the Holy Spirit wanted us to have the record of what was above the head of Jesus on that cross. By faith, we believe that concerning every detail in the Bible, and we believe that there is not error here, but in fact, only the truth. We could really end the discussion right there and say that's good enough. By faith, we believe this. In some way, this is not contradictory. But we can go beyond that. We can go beyond and explain somewhat the discrepancies between the four renderings of the superscription. A couple of points in that regard. In the first place, understand that it is not necessary for inspiration and then infallibility for each of the gospel writers to record in full what the superscription said. That is not an indication of it being infallible and inspired. It may be the case that the Holy Spirit inspired each of the writers to only put down a part of what they read, or to put down exactly what the Spirit wanted in its explanation of what was above the head of Jesus Christ. So that in the first place, a full record does not demand that, or inspiration and infallibility does not demand that it be completely full. Probably the better explanation is this in the second place, and that is we need to remember that each of the writers likely was taking down what they read in a particular language. A detail of the superscription is that it was written in three languages, Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. And depending upon which gospel writer, you would have a rendering of one of those three. And that would make sense too when you look at the gospels generally. Each of the gospels has a particular purpose and a particular audience. Matthew wrote his gospel particularly to the Jews. And therefore, when it came to the superscription, he likely took down the Hebrew. Mark wrote in particular to the Romans. And therefore, it was likely that when he wrote down the superscription, he was reading that which was in Latin. And then Luke, he wrote to the Greeks, and therefore likely took down the Greek. And then you have John, and the reason I read John's gospel tonight is that it's the fullest account of those three, and possibly the case that for that reason. The others had that specific purpose, and John gives the most comprehensive, inspired by the Spirit, rendering of the superscription. But there is a way to understand the slight differences that we have in the superscription on the cross with Jesus. So we establish the fact of it, that this was above the cross that Jesus hung on. But now I go back to what I said in the introduction. In the introduction, I made the point that all of these details serve a purpose. What's the significance? What's the meaning of the fact that Jesus had this message above his head while he hung on that cross? And that's what we need to see now in the second point of the sermon. There is great significance to this being what was the message to those who walked by and the message to us while he was on that cross. In the first place, the superscription serves the purpose of declaring to the world then and to the church now the perfect innocence of Jesus. Remember the purpose of the superscription. The purpose of the superscription is to set forth the crime, to set forth the law that was broken, to set forth the sin that was committed, which led to that man being hung on that cross to his death. God led Pilate to have this written above him, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. And in having that written above him, what we see is that there is no crime set at his feet. There is no law broken. There is no sin committed. What God led Pilate to do by writing that above his head was to declare very, very powerfully the absolute innocence of the one who was hanging on that cross. They couldn't come up with anything, and the whole trial of Jesus indicates that so strongly. Though they tried and tried and tried, and though the Jews tried to pin him on the fact that he claimed to be the King of the Jews, being blasphemous in doing so, the reality is that they had absolutely nothing for which they could crucify the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, by having this as the content of that superscription, what it did very, very clearly was exclaim the innocence of Jesus. And it had to be that way. The only way for what Jesus did on that cross to be effective, for it to accomplish our salvation, was for the Lord Jesus Christ to be innocent and righteous Himself. If He had one crime that could be laid to His feet, or one sin that could be written above Him on that cross, it would altogether disqualify Him for doing what He did on that cross. He would not, therefore, be able to take your sin and my sin upon Him and bring that to the cross and bear the wrath of God against those sins. He'd have His own to bring there. But He didn't. He was the just, bearing the wrath of God for you and me, the unjust. That in the first place, the superscription declares so powerfully perfect innocence of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in the second place, what we need to see when we consider what was written above Jesus Christ is the fact that it did set forth the truth. Yes, it was Pilate that had this written above the Lord Jesus Christ, but the reality is that this was the message of God to the world then and to the church today, that this is who Jesus Christ was as He hung on that cross. And then we can see even farther than that, further than that, the fact that this is why He hung on that cross. It exclaimed the truth, but it also exclaims the reason He was on that cross. The fact that He was the King of the Jews led Him to the cross. And in that sense, the superscription did serve the purpose of superscriptions for Jesus. Recall what I said in the first point about the purpose of a superscription. It's an accusation. It exclaims why that person is on the cross. Now we followed that with making the point that he was innocent. There was no crime there. But we can see now that it did serve that purpose. The writing above Jesus teaches us the very reason He was on that cross. God sent Him to this earth as Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. And because He was Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, in the way that we'll talk about it in a moment, He had to go to that cross. The superscription teaches us the truth of the one who hung on that cross. And let's see that truth. What is the truth that is laid, set forth very clearly in these words? Four things especially. When you take all of the renderings together, these four things are highlighted. In the first place, He is Jesus. That was the name given to Him right at His birth by the angels. They told Joseph and Mary, He shall be called Jesus, Matthew 1, verse 21. For, this is why He should be called Jesus, He shall save His people from their sins. And now we see Jesus tonight on this Good Friday on that cross, bringing to fulfillment that which His name taught us, because we know that that cross was the very way in which He saves His people from their sins. He is Jesus, John says, of Nazareth. Now, not the first thing that we would gravitate towards when we read the record of the superscription, but significant nonetheless. The fact that He was from Nazareth highlights His humanity. It highlights the fact that when we sit here tonight on this Good Friday and when we think about someone on a cross, we think about someone who is just like us. He's Jesus of Nazareth, just like you are, said person from Hudsonville or said person from Jenison or wherever you're from. The fact that his hometown is named makes it very clear that he was just like this. He was from this earth, a man like you and me, and fit therefore, and that's the significance of this, fit therefore to take your place in my place on that cross many years ago. But the main thing in the third place that is highlighted concerning Christ is that He is the King. All of the renderings of the superscription have that fact in it, that the one on that cross was the King. He was the King promised by God in the Old Testament, right at the beginning, really, the mother promise. Genesis 3:15 emphasizes the kingship of Jesus Christ. He would crush, He would defeat the serpent and all of His enemies. He was the King that was foreshadowed during the kingdoms of Israel and Judah, when all of those other kings ruled the people as types of this one who would come, but only that, types. They were all failures in the end. Even the greatest of them, David and Solomon, were failures. They were sinners, sinned in egregious and grievous ways, pointing to the need for this King, the Lord Jesus Christ. This was the one concerning whom it was said at the beginning of His life, right at the time He came in humility, born to this earth, in Luke chapter 1, verses 32 and 33. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto Him the throne of His father David. And He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of His kingdom there shall be no end. This was the King who triumphantly entered into Jerusalem on the Sunday previous to this Friday, to the cries of Hosanna to the Son of David. And this is the King now who hangs on that cross in the place of His people. Beloved, the world scoffs at us tonight as we come here together as the people of God to remember and celebrate the suffering and death of Jesus Christ. We come here tonight and we say by faith, that was the King on that cross. The world looks at that and scoffs and says, that's defeat. King, you say? It's defeat, death, at the hands of His enemies on the cross. We come here tonight and we say He's King. And this cross stands for victory. Because the nature of the kingdom over which Jesus is King is spiritual and heavenly. And the victory that He accomplished on that cross was a victory over those spiritual enemies. Those spiritual enemies that we fight against every single day in our lives here on this earth. But He was King all right. And He did on that cross what kings do. They conquer. They defeat. They defend. On that cross, and especially during those 3 hours of darkness, beloved, He conquered and He defeated. He defeated your sins and He defeated my sins. And as King, He gained the victory. The Jews mocked Him, scourged Him, but He went there as King and He was victorious. And He was King, as the superscription says in the fourth place, of the Jews. Meaning that He came out of the Jews. He was the one promised by God for 4,000 years. But more significantly this, He was King in the way that I just described over the Jews who were His people. The Jews standing there, not for ethnic Jews, but standing there for spiritual Jews. Jews in the sense of Romans 2, 28 and 29. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. King, in the way that we described, conquering sin, giving us the victory of His people. The Jew who is a spiritual Jew, who puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But yet we see the expanse of that. We see the Catholicity of that. In the fact that the superscription was not written in just Hebrew, pointing to those Jews, but the superscription was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. And the point of that, beloved, is that there is a Catholicity, the then known world then, Hebrew, Greek, and Latin, all men who call this one hanging on the cross King, of which we are numbered this evening. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. The comfort of this? The comfort is it's our salvation. Put your faith in this Jesus. We do put our faith in this Jesus. We believe that this is the truth of the one who hung on that cross that first Good Friday. We read that in John 20. The unbelieving Jews tried to get Pilate to say, "Don't write that, write this. He said He is the King of the Jews." Because in their unbelief, hardened in that unbelief, they denied wholeheartedly that this was the truth of the one who died on that cross. By faith we say tonight, beloved, this is the truth, that the King of the Jews hung on that cross that first Good Friday. And putting our faith and trust in this King of the Jews, the comfort is that He was there in our place and He conquered those enemies on our behalf. Look to the cross tonight on this Good Friday and believe in this Jesus. Believe in Him as the only answer to the reason He went to that cross, sin and all of our enemies. Believe in Him with all of your heart, taking all of your trust outside of yourself, looking to nothing else in this world but that cross, which stands as the only answer and the only hope for the sins that you and I commit every single day, and the guilt that we know is ours in Adam. And the comfort is not only the fact that as King of the Jews, He hung on that cross and bore the wrath of God against sin, but the comfort is that we have hope every single day going forward. Beloved, He was King when He hung on that cross that Good Friday some 2,000 years ago. But He was King when He arose victoriously, which we celebrate in a couple of days on Sunday. And He was King when He ascended into heaven and sits at God's right hand. And the comfort that we have right now and our hope going forward is that this same one to this day is King. And having accomplished the victory on that cross, which we remember tonight, we go forward, as I said a moment ago, putting our faith and trust in Him every single day with a good hope that He will give us the ultimate victory in the days and weeks and years to come, whenever that time may be, when the Lord Jesus Christ takes us home to glory. We don't see tonight defeat. We don't see tonight what those unbelieving Jews saw in that cross. Beloved, we see tonight the victory accomplished by Jesus Christ, our King. The victory then, the victory now, and the victory forever. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we thank Thee that for a few minutes tonight we can hear the gospel of the kingship of Jesus, the good news that He was King then, today and is our King forever, has secured the victory on the cross and will bring that victory to ultimate fulfillment when we are brought to be with Him in glory. Give us a strong faith, we pray, Father, in the Lord Jesus Christ, and understanding our own sin, help us to flee to the cross day by day, and grant us the assurance that in Him we are righteous. For Jesus' sake do we pray. Amen.